Good evening.
Good evening.
Again, I'm grateful for this occasion. We've come together. We consider the words of that song as we consider the particular event we've come together for. To reach out into the community, because we recognize, as heaven does, that there are some souls that it is not well with.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And as members of the body of Christ, as members of the church of our Lord, we have been commissioned. You may not have this on, but I know you hear me. To ensure that we reach out to the entire world. It is God's desire that it is well with all souls. The sad reality is often the case with us. Though God's desire is for it to be well with all souls, oftentimes it is not our desire for it to be well even with our own souls. For members of the body of Christ, we act oftentimes as if all souls are saved. We oftentimes neglect the work in which we have been commissioned to do, but it is incumbent upon us that we ensure that we indeed fulfill the dictate given from heaven through the medium of Jesus Christ to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And that is what we have sought out to do on this particular week. It's also incumbent upon Christians, even oftentimes, to evaluate ourselves. For Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 13:5, if you will, go over that with me real quickly. I'm going to seek to slow down tonight and give attention to the book. I want us to see some things as we seek to develop the lesson for this evening. But I call your attention to 2 Corinthians 13:5. And this is a text we all need to give heed to, both Christian and non-Christian alike. Because this is what we know and this is what we are assured of, that the day will come when the Lord will send back his son, for the second occasion, this time not to redeem and to reconcile, but this time to judge, this time to evaluate. And from that moment on, our destiny will be sealed. As we sit today, the question that we ask ourselves, both individually and collectively, where are we? And what I would have you to do is remove your thought of you and give yourself an honest evaluation wherever you may stand in the sight of yourself and in the sight of God. It's time to reevaluate. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 13:5, to examine yourselves to see whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Want us to consider the first particular section of this verse when the admonition of the apostle to the Corinthian Christians to examine yourselves, to evaluate you, both Christian and non-Christian alike. We look at a congregation in the book of the Revelation. Real quickly, we go to chapter 3. I want us to look at some things here as we, the lesson tonight is we rejoice in the peace that we have in Christ Jesus. We're going to continue with that particular theme, but I have adjusted a little, but we're going to emphasize that very thought. It is God's desire that we are at peace with him. And for the child of God, the one who is the child of God, the one who is the Christian, that individual has peace. That individual has tranquility. That individual has ease of mind. For this is what he knows. He knows, as Paul would write in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. The question we ask ourselves, are we persuaded? Maybe time for an evaluation. Listen to the evaluation of a great physician as it pertains to this particular congregation in Laodicea. And I want you to acknowledge from this text, there were some things that the Savior revealed about them that they did not know about themselves. Remember the psalmist in Psalm 139 when he would ask of heaven to search me and seek me to see if there is any iniquity in me. We need to ask that question of ourselves. But oftentimes the fear that we have is seeing ourselves. We have a visual of us that is oftentimes not accurate. And we're afraid to see the accurate picture. But on this evening, we encourage you to let's visualize the accurate picture as to where we stand spiritually. And if I find myself in a state of being God's enemy, rather at peace with him, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, there is something we need to do before we find ourselves facing the judge. So we look at the text. The text says these words and verse number 14, he says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, he said, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Listen to what he says. I know your works. I am very familiar with you. The word carries the idea is I have come down and I have examined you. I know everything about you. We see him in chapter 1 in the midst of the candlesticks. He is evaluating. He is examining. So he tells those at Laodicea, I know something about you that you don't know. Listen to what he says. He's going to bring it out. That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were either cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, he says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Here are the symptoms of their lukewarmness. Lukewarmness, complacency, no spiritual zeal. As we mentioned before in an earlier lesson, seemingly just a congregation as most are in America today. What is happening with these particular individuals is we're coming together at the prescribed times. We're meeting on the Sundays. We're meeting on the Wednesdays. We're together for Fellowship Sunday. We're together for all of the other occasions. But there is no fire in our bellies. There is no spiritual zeal. There is no commitment. We're just coming. We're committed to coming. We're not committed to Christianity. Listen to what he says. First phrase, because you say, King James, thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. This is what you say about you. What do you say about you? But he says these words. New King James says, and do not know. King James says, and knowest not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This is what God reveals to them about them. Jesus goes down into the depths of their very soul. And he extracts something from their soul and he brings it to the surface. But they had a visual of themselves. They had a visual of their spiritual state. They thought something of themselves. In their mind, when they said, I have need of nothing, that's exactly what it was. There is nothing I need. I have everything I desire. And I have everything I need for my spirituality. But there was a need to repent, as Jesus would go on to say. If there is a need to repent, there is a problem that exists. So we call your attention to you this evening. Allow Jesus to flow down into your soul. Allow him to look within you and to see if there is an iniquity in you. Remove the visual of yourself. The proverb writer in Proverbs 13:15 says, the way of the transgressor is hard. The soul is burdened because it lacks necessary spiritual nourishment. And in the case of the Laodiceans, they failed to acknowledge that. So we turn our attention now to a couple of passages as we seek to develop the lesson. We rejoice in the peace that we have in Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, go with me. Verses 28 and following, text we are familiar with, but nevertheless we will examine it again. Matthew chapter 11. And the words are these. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He says these words, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto or for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Yes, sir.
Everyone that has listened to this passage and has responded obediently, has received what Jesus has said would be received, and that is easement. That is tranquility for the soul. But everyone that hasn't falls victim to God's wrath if he does not change it. The greatest invitation ever extended is often neglected, is often rejected, rather. Listen to who is asking one to come into his presence, to come into his assembly. It's Jesus himself asking you to come. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And he makes this plea that there is a yoke that needs to be removed from you, and there is a yoke that needs to be placed upon you. As we read and we looked there, we quoted Proverbs 13:15, the way of the transgressor is hard. The soul that is often neglectful from examination is often the soul that is burdened, as we've seen with the Laodiceans. They fail to evaluate themselves. But Jesus calls for evaluation. Look into you. In John 16:33, these are the words of the Messiah as he was readying himself for his crucifixion, or rather readying his disciples for the crucifixion. He says in verse number 33, these things I have spoken to you in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. He says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In me, in the safety of my pavilion, in the safety of my home, in the safety up under my guidance, up under my control, is where you find peace. It's where you find tranquility. It's where you find easement of mind. It's where the burden of sin is removed. It's in Christ Jesus. One of the common phrases that Paul would use throughout his epistles is this terminology, in Christ. He's indicating a location, a spiritual location. In the Greek, it's what we know as the locative indicating location. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4, if you go there with me real quickly, Ephesians chapter number 1. In verses number 3 and 4, we listen to his words. Ephesians chapter 1, rather, verses 3. These are his words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is God's desire that all humanity attain or access that which is in the Christ. That is the totality of his spiritual blessings, which embodies peace, which embodies comfort, which embodies joy, And once one has attained this, the rest, the tranquility of his soul is attained. But until one finds himself in the appropriate place, this continues to be absent from him. So we look again, Romans chapter 5. We're going to get to the lesson here momentarily. We're just seeking to establish some thoughts. Romans chapter 5, verses number 1 and following. The Bible says these words, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope.
Yes.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength," listen to his words, "in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When we were weakened, when we was hopeless, when we were helpless. For scarcely," he says, "for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood," he say, "we shall be saved from wrath through him." There is the easement. There is the tranquility. There lies the peace. We can be removed from the state of hostility with God if we access that which has been granted unto us by the Christ. So he says these words, pay attention to verses 10 and following. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall now be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received atonement." Listen to verse number 10. Paul goes back and rehashes what he's already stated, and he explains it this way. There was a time when we were God's enemies. There was a time when we did not listen to the message in which he has revealed from heaven, that being the good news, the gospel of peace. And as a result, we became his enemies. As a result, we were hostile. As a result, we were out of relationship with him. As a result, we were those individuals who had burden of the soul. And as a result, we found ourselves not members of his household nor his family. As a result, we find ourselves actually children of Satan, the God, the adversary of both God and man. We were his enemies. Remember the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 2? "For you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You have the made alive who once walked according to the prince of the power of the air, who were controlled and who was directed by Satan. You were his adversary." We continue to consider the Laodiceans. "But inwardly, you were a soul burdened. You were a soul living in transgression, and you did not know it." But when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, he says, we shall be saved by his life. You go back and we recall the time when Paul wrote in this particular text, "For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." We remember the words of Paul in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4, if you go there with me. Galatians chapter 4, and verse number 4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law at the appropriate time." God responded. When you were without strength, he responded. When you were his enemy, he responded. Now he pleads, come. He's examined you. Have you examined yourself? Have you looked into the depths of your soul and to determine where you stand now as it pertains to your spirituality? Do you have peace with God? For the child of God, we rejoice in the peace that we have. But maybe there's someone here this evening that finds themselves in opposition to God. You are that transgressor, and he calls for you. He pleads with you, his enemy, to come. Do you have peace with him this evening? Do you have tranquility of the soul this evening? Or are you burdened? Are you the ones like the Laodicean that say, I have need of nothing. I am where I need to be. Well, we challenge you to evaluate. We'll challenge you to look deep within the depths of your soul. It is oftentimes we find ourselves in situations where we have been in predicaments for so long where we are fearful to look and to change. I have dealt with individuals and spoken with individuals and say, I've thought this way, I believed this way, I've held to this way for so long. Maybe this is the time to change. Maybe this is the time to re-examine. Maybe this is the time to re-evaluate because your soul is burdened. But the Christ, he still says to you to come. So we ask the question. We ask you to consider the question. One who may be along with us that finds themselves in need of redemption, in need of salvation. As the scribe would ask of Jesus. In Luke chapter 11, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I have evaluated me. I recognize I'm God's enemy. I recognize I'm not at peace. I recognize I need assistance. I've allowed the Lord to reach down into the depths of my soul, and he's extracted some things about me that I didn't know. And now I'm ready to have peace. Now I'm ready to be able to rejoice with the saints. Now I'm ready to be able to be excited to be a child of God. Brother, let me know what I need to do. And that is what we are setting out to do on this particular occasion, in this particular week. This is what we set out to do this evening. We seek to present to you the message of the gospel of peace. Go with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, real quickly. We see the words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 3, when he wrote here, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God and truth. We draw attention to verse number 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Are you here with us this evening in burden of the soul without hope? Are you here with us in... You have nothing to look forward to after your departure from this life because you have failed to listen to the great invitation to come. You failed to allow yourself to be evaluated. And you have no hope, but you may desire hope. Let us tell you about the hope that you which you can attain. Paul said, as we read here momentarily, or rather a few moments ago, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Your salvation is in Christ. We read again, go with me real quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse number, 2 Timothy chapter 2 rather. In verse number 1. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Again, in verse number 10, Paul would write, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ for with eternal glory. You want spiritual blessings? They are found in Christ. You want grace? They are found in Christ. You want hope? It is found in Christ. You want salvation? It is found in Christ. You want peace? It is found in Christ. So how do I find myself in the Christ, brother? You say, as Jesus said in John 16:33, in me you have peace. This is where the rejoicing can take place. This is where I have hope. This is where I find grace to save myself. This is where I find my salvation. This is where I find all my spiritual blessings. And separate and apart from that, I have not tranquility and peace for the soul. So therefore, I cannot rejoice, but I want it. I desire it. Now I see what I didn't see before. I realize my soul is burdened. I want assistance. Jesus would give the Great Commission. Matthew 20, as we all know it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The good news of redemption, the good news of salvation. And everyone that believes and is baptized, he says, shall be saved. I want to draw your attention to some Old Testament imagery as we seek to come to a rapid close. From the beginning of creation, God had a plan to redeem man. He had the plan in mind so that man could be brought back into relationship with him. The question we ask ourselves on this evening is, are we in a relationship with him? Have I allowed myself to examine me and to determine whether or not I'm in right state so I can have easement of the mind, easement of the soul, tranquility, peace with God, not conflict? Have I allowed myself to see that? I keep bringing it up because I want you to give it attention. So we see in the beginning of creation, God is showing us some type as to where he's seeking to go. He brings forth a man and a woman. He provides a union, the marriage union. But in that union, we can see something if we would just watch closely. He's going somewhere with that. If we would give attention to 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible speaks of the last man, Adam. We remember in the beginning, God gave us an Adam and he put Adam to sleep. What happened when he put the Adam to sleep? He took a rib from his side and he made his bride. He will wake the man up and give him his woman. One man, one woman. We find in the New Testament, the last Adam. God would allow his last Adam to go to sleep also. What would happen to the last Adam? We're just walking through history because I want you to see where heaven was going all along to provide peace and tranquility and hope and joy for humanity. And as we look back on these things, we should be exuberated with joy because all along he's sure that he's had a plan in mind to redeem me so that my soul does not have to be burdened. He gives the last Adam a bride also. We read about her in Ephesians 5. He gives her the church. Was poor from his very side. He resurrected his Adam, brought him back to life, put him back in his body, and presented her the church of our Lord. We remember, we give attention to Genesis chapter 6. There was an issue in the world at that particular moment. What was the issue? The thoughts of men's hearts were only evil continually. What was God going to do? He was going to invoke his wrath on the entire world. But there was an element that had peace. There was an element that had joy. There was an element that will be redeemed. There was an element that had hope. It will be that element that will be in that one off. God is showing us something as we walk through history. We come to the days of Moses. He gives Moses instruction to build a tabernacle. The tabernacle, God's people would gather around that one tabernacle, not two tabernacles, not three different tabernacles. Just as in the days of Noah, it was one boat. In the days of Moses, it was one tabernacle built with the instructions given to one man. That will be the place of God's dwelling. That will be the place where his sacrifices would go up as sweet aroma. That will be the place where all of his people would assemble. That will be the place where he had proof, showed, said, I will place my name And this particular Oedipus, one man in the beginning with one woman, one bride, one man in the days of Noah, one place of salvation, one place of hope, one place of reconciliation, one place of redemption. So we come to the New Testament. What do we find? We find heaven sends one man. And that one man would bring down along with him all of the blessings of heaven. That man would come, and he would come as the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. We just read in Romans chapter 5 verses 1 and 2 that he has presented that peace. And the child of God can access that peace, can have that peace. But maybe you're here and you have not accessed the place of peace. Where is the place of peace, brother? It's in the body of Christ. It's in the church of our Lord. So we ask ourselves, we ponder, one Adam, one bride, one Noah, one ark, one Israel, one tabernacle. We come to the New Testament, one Christ, one church. And ingrained in that particular element is the peace that the Christian has access. You consider the picture with me, if you will. We consider those who are in the world. We also consider those who are in the body. The question we ask, if all spiritual blessings are in the Christ, then what spiritual blessings are out of the Christ? If you have not the access for peace, then you are not in the right place. If you have not access hope, you are not in the right place. If your soul is still burdened, then maybe you are not in the right place. We consider the world and everybody in it. As we sung the song earlier, it is well with our souls. Where is it? We recognize that there are those in the world that it is not well with. But there is a place that God desires for them to be. We consider the edifice. We consider the church. And we consider the head. We consider the top of the house. The head of the body is Jesus himself. The foundation is Jesus himself. The makeup of the body is the body of the Christ. And everybody that will find themselves inside of that place will have the peace, will have joy, and will be able to rejoice. Paul would say in the book of Ephesians, go with me real quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. Or rather, Ephesians chapter 1. These are the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22. And have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I want you to consider the words of the Apostle Paul. He speaks of the authority of the Christ. He's the head of the body. We consider the body, and we consider the church, and it is his body. We see in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, all spiritual blessings are in Christ, therefore in his body. Where's my peace? In the body of Christ. Where's my hope? In the body of Christ. Where's my tranquility? In the body of Christ. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Verse number 26. When he says these words, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you, he said, he explains how this happened, how this came about. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For you're all children of God, to the Galatians. You are all children of God, to the Galatians. We ask the question this evening, are we all children of God? And if I'm not, I have not peace. If I'm not, I have no hope. If I'm not, I have no joy. And if I'm not, I have no reason to rejoice. So Paul, in this context, speaking of the faith in the Christ, is the faith in the gospel, the hearing of the message of redemption. How that he came and he died and he was buried. Not only that, he resurrected upon the third day of the week, according to the scriptures. And when one hears that message of redemption, and one is added to the one body, the one bride, the one spiritual ark, the one spiritual temple, he becomes a child of the Christ, of a child of God, by being baptized into the Christ. He puts on Christ. He's added to the kingdom. He's added to the house. God becomes his father, and Jesus becomes his brother. Are you here with us this evening, and you have not obeyed the gospel of the Savior? Are you here today, and you may have a false picture of yourself as the Laodiceans had? We have need of nothing, for we have all that we need. My spiritual state is well. Have we taken the time to look at us? Have we really given careful attention to the words of Jesus when he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden? Or have you evaluated yourself to see if you have the way of the transgressor? The way of the transgressor is difficult, and sometimes maybe you don't even know that you are a transgressor. You need to evaluate. Maybe you think your spiritual condition is fine, but you need to evaluate. And when we do a proper evaluation and we respond appropriately, then the peace that heaven desires us for us to have, we can then have. So if you hear and you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord, it is incumbent upon you to do so. You come to Jesus by hearing. For we know that faith in Christ comes through hearing of the message of the gospel, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. We know that without faith we cannot please him. For everyone that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. We know it is required of everyone who wills to make God his Father. There is a need to repent. Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you perish. We must be willing to make the confession that Jesus made as he faced the cross. When asked, are you the son of the blessed? And he responded and said, I am. And they slaughtered. We must be willing to be slaughtered with the Christ in the water of river baptism. What he does, once we submit to baptism, and he takes us from the state of being his enemy to being his adversary, of being the burden of the soul. And he takes us and he purifies us. He cleanses us with the blood of the Christ. Revelation 1:5. He takes us and he adds us to the church. The one church, the one bride, the one ark, the one temple. We'll read about in the New Testament. When you resurrect from the water, you know then you have peace. You know then you can have joy. And as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, having come in contact with the Christ in redemption, the Bible lets us know he went away rejoicing. And so can you. And so can I. Have you evaluated yourself? Look within. Look deep. Look close. And allow yourself to be seen. And if extracted from you those things that requires repentance, the cry of heaven is to do so. And he says, if you do these words back in the Revelation chapter 3, he that opens the door to me and listens to me and hears my word, I will come in and sup with him. I will commune with him. And to him that overcomes, to the individual who conquers himself, he said, I will grant that individual to sit with me on my throne as I overcame and my Father allowed me to sit on his throne. So if you're here and you need to respond, we Pray that you will. If you're here and you're a child of God, and along the way you found yourself in a similar situation as the Laodiceans, a false picture of you, it's time to repent. Allow Jesus back into the life. Allow him to place you back on the road of righteousness. Let us fight until the day of Christ, so that when that day comes, we can hear him say, "Well done, would you come? Let's get together, stand and sing."